You all, and we are in a Lakai Natsur, we're in the Tachnunim at the end, and we got into the concept of making our souls like dust. Do you remember that last time? So we talked about the fact that if we make our souls like dust, only then can we then say, Pasach lebi basar asecha uv mitzvay secha tiradeif nafshi. We could only then say, open my heart to your Torah, and may my soul run after or pursue your mitzvahs. Why? Because real mitzvah and Torah performance only comes when you've been mevatel on your ego. You have to suppress your ego. You have to. If you don't. Now, what was dust? Remember, I love this. It's really, really important. Oh, good evening. What's dust? Dust is this similar concept. It's like this. Dust bears insult from people without returning the insult. Two is, even though it's been insulted, it gives all of its nutrients to whoever utilizes it. And three is it gets trampled upon the whole time and it doesn't say anything and it doesn't begrudgingly, but it does everything well. We should aim to be like dust, and Klal Yisrael are called like dust, like sand at the seashore, like dust that clump together. We're like that in the fact that we should say, listen, you want to insult us and everything like that. Look, to a certain extent, we do this with the Gentiles. I think that's fair to say. The Gentiles treat us disgustingly in world history, and I'm saying that on tape, and that is 100% accurate. If you look at world history, the worst human crimes that have ever happened have always been against the Jews. It is inexplicable and inexcusable how Gentiles have treated our people over the ages of history. Right from the beginning, from Nimrod all the way through to today. Totally baseless hatred. And what do? We don't go around. I have more right walking in to a German restaurant with a bomb belt around me and killing as many Germans as I can than any Arab has to walk in when Israel actually pay for all the electricity free in Gaza. If the Germans wanted to kill 136 members of my mother's family alone, I don't see that I shouldn't take a few Germans out. I'd call it revenge. I think that's perfectly justifiable. We don't do it. It's not the Torah way. Why? Let my soul be like dust to everyone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want me to do that. He'll deal with it. He'll organise it. He'll avenge their blood. Yimkum damai, 100%. He's not going to let that slide. In the meantime, he doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to be dust-like and even give out. Daven for them. Hope that the Shevet Mitzvah will be fulfilled. The Mashiach should come not only for us, but for their benefit as well. So they slaughter members of my family and I daven for their welfare. Now we're talking dust. If you think like that and you're thinking straight, not stupidly, you can now approach Torah and mitzvahs properly. Why? Because just like dust is open property for everybody, not this because it's not property, but you go to a park, it's open property. The Torah is open property for everyone as well. Anyone that wants to learn Torah or do mitzvahs, you've got as much right to do a mitzvah as I. In fact, you've got more right as a Kohen than I have. But at the end of the day, let's say we're both going to do a mitzvah, which you both have equal opportunity towards doing. You've got as much right to do it as I have. That's like dust. It's completely open and it's completely bare, as it were, like communal land. The Torah is also like communal land. The more you feel completely open and bare like communal land, the more you can gain that access to Torah. It's not your own private possession. We discussed that. That was a Gemara in Erevin and a Gemara in Adorim. That we said the one who studies Torah should be humble like public land. I think this is where we're up to now. The Abudraham connects this phrase to the beginning of the Tefillah. I think we did this as well, I'm sorry. He explained that it's not enough to guard one's tongue, not to be a negative person, and then go to sleep and remain inactive in your life. You've got to be a sumera, not doing bad, and you've got to be an asetov. You've got to do good. Now that we've asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to protect us from being negative, don't let me be full of deceit and don't let me be wicked and evil. Now I've got to run after your Torah. Notice, tiradof nafshi. I've got to pursue it. That means you've got to be active. To get Torah, you can't just say, look, I'm not a bad boy. I'm not a bad boy. I've not lied. I've not deceited. I've not been mean. I've not hurt anyone. I'm about to sit down now. Shovoltase. I'm not a bad boy. That's sumara. Now the next part of the passage is asay tov. You've got to get up and do something. Torah needs two things. One, it needs you not to be a naughty boy. And two, is it needs you to be an actively good boy. Both of those have to be true. A person who you see who's great in Torah, one, is actively not naughty, and two, is actively doing things to do good. Right? Like you think of the Rabbonim that I think of in Eretz Yisrael that are running around doing Bekachaylim and helping people out. They're running around the whole time helping people. Right? That's Tirdoth Nafshi. My soul has to pursue it. That's the Asay Taiv bit. The Sumera was that I shouldn't be full of deceit and my soul should be quiet. It should be like dust. I'll sit. When someone gives me a go, I'll take it. In the meantime, run off to mitzvahs. That's the Abu Draham. Oh, what's another thing? I'm legally using this because I know I want to get into a Kodesh Baruch Hu's good books. I got to take this. You'll like this. Not a lot. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly likes the pursued. The underdog, Hashem, always favours. Many places in Chazal say this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is with the pursued, because the pursued are usually very contrite of spirit. If we can make ourselves into the pursued and not those that pursue others, we know Hashem's going to champion your cause. Because that's just how it works. So we ask that we not react to those that curse us. The minute that someone curses you and you don't say anything, you know what you are? You're the pursued. Someone's out to get you, right? Someone's out to get you. You know who's in your corner? God. He just aligns himself with the underdog. Who's the underdog here? Now, if you turn around and someone's having a go at you and you're going to say, I'm going to fight tooth and nail, I'm going to kill it. Okay, so it's an even, let's see a scrap. You don't need my help. You're doing it yourself. But if your mummy's taking it and you're saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, help me, he'll stand in your corner. Animals chosen for korbanos were always animals that are predated upon.
What upon?
Predated. They are not the predators. They're the
predated. I was like, expiry date, you know.
They're predated upon. They're not predators. We cannot give a leopard. We cannot give a lion. We cannot give a wolf. Even though these incredibly powerful creatures with very strong midas, we always look for the pursued. However, in one area, we do want to be active predators. We want to be active predators. Serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu as bold as a leopard. That's a picky of us. How do you do that? Torah and mitzvahs. When it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, be aggressive.
There's another one with a lion.
The point is like this. The point is like this. The point is like this. You have to split up when you have to take your hits and when you should be vicious. There's room for both in Torah Judaism. Someone's having a go at you. You take your hit. Obviously, you try not. You have to defend yourself and not make yourself worthless, because otherwise you could become destroyed, an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva. But generally, something have a go at you. They say something against you. Remember we talked about the rough curtain material. Smooth yourself out, just take the punches. Be soft on that one. When it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, be as vicious as a wild wolf. Go for it. Learn. Do more. Run after mitzvahs cleverly, like a pack of wolves. They organize their own roles in the hunt so that they can be more effective to bring down greater quarry. They can take down things much bigger than them, like a bison or a buffalo. They can take those things down, even though they're just dogs. Why? Because they act as a team, one thing after another. Act as a team to do a mitzvah. Act as a team to learn Torah. I can't do it by myself. Going to get a chabura together. We can't do a mitzvah by ourselves. Let's make a vad. Let's get some askanim together. Let's make something happen. I want the mitzvah. I want the Torah. Actively, viciously go get it. You don't have it up? Phone someone. Phone someone. They've got all these computers now with disks with thousands of svarim. Find it. Find it, go learn, do the mitzvah. I can't do it, I want the better mitzvah. Phone a better sofa to get a better mezuzah. Phone a better sofa to get a better mezuzah. Be vicious about it. Take money out of the bank to do it. Go get your mitzvahs. Viciously pursue Torah and mitzvahs. That you're allowed to do. That's what it means to yourself. Become a pursuer. Usually we're not pursuers. Usually we're passive. When it comes to Torah and Avodah, get on it. Another connection, by the way, with the beginning of the tefillah with the end, is mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar. And he says, one way to guarantee that you do not speak Lashon Hara or curse anyone else is to occupy yourself with Torah. If you're busy with Torah, the Medrash and Tehillim 3:9 says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah so we could not be occupied with Lashon Hara or idle activities. Hashem knows people like a good natter. He made us like that. We would like nothing more to have a good sit down and a bit of a natter. That we like that. It's a positive, pleasurable human pastime to sit down and have a natter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us loads to natter about. Anything in the Torah. He has made the Torah literally infinite. And you can't say there's nothing in the Torah that interests me. You can't say that. That it's so infinite, you can say there's got to be something that interests you. There's got to be, because there's not nothing that isn't. Because there's everything there. I'm into palmistry, it's in the Torah. I'm into astrology, it's in the Torah. I'm into agriculture, it's in the Torah. I'm into business, it's in the Torah. I'm into meat, it's in the Torah. I'm into food, it's in the Torah. I'm into any, it's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. There's always something to talk about. And it's like, no, but I don't like what it talks about. It only talks about halacha. Okay, so do medrash. I don't like medrash. I.e., there's no excuse to say I wanted to have a good natter and say Lashon Hara because I was busy talking about Torah. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made the Torah extremely multifaceted that affects every area of human endeavor, so you can always talk about something within the framework of Torah. If you do that, says the Medrash Rabbah on Tehillim, you won't say Lashon Hara. And that's what it says, my God, protect me from speaking deceit. How will you do that? Tirdof nafshi. Let my soul pursue the mitzvahs. If I'm busy with the mitzvahs or Torah, it'll automatically occupy my verbal issues. Once my verbal issues are occupied, I'll also get merit for the fact that I'm only trying to do mitzvahs. Others, though, see this phrase as a continuation of v'nafshi ke'afal l'chol tihyeh. Let my soul be like dust. Why? Because in order to be successful in Torah learning, the Gemara Seita in Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b says, the Torah is preserved only by those who make themselves as if he is not. You can only get Torah if you see yourself as humble. If you're humble and you genuinely realize you're not Mr. Amazing, you will get the Torah. Why? Because Torah flows from great to low. It flows like water, it goes from high to low. The Torah naturally likes to hang out with people who are humble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to hang out, if dare I say it, with people who are humble, because people who are haughty have no room in their heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're too busy thinking about themselves. Where's the space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enter their consciousness? Only after we make ourselves like dust can you actually open up your heart to the Torah, because only then have you got room to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. That's another link to these two concepts. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open our heart to Torah before we request aid in pursuing mitzvahs. The question is, why don't we say Pasach li basar secha and then Uv mitzvoy secha tiradof nafshi? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Let me do your mitzvahs and then let me understand the Torah behind it. No, first you have to do the Torah. You can only get the Torah once you have opened your heart to it. And then only once you've learned the Torah can you know what to do. The mitzvahs are prerequisite that you know what you have got to do. If you don't know the Torah, how can you keep mitzvahs? If you don't know what you're meant to do, how can you do it? You haven't read the instruction manual. What is expected of you? Additionally, the Ian Tefillah says that the opening of the heart is opposite the oralus halev, a closed heart. When it means open my heart, pasach lebi b'sohasecha, open my heart to your Torah, what does that mean? It means your heart is actually closed to it. You wouldn't ask, open my heart to your Torah, unless it is actually closed to it. Otherwise, if the door's open, don't say, please open the door for me. The door is open. No, the door's not open. Our hearts are not naturally open to the Torah. You have to open your heart to the Torah, which is why the Luchos, the two tablets, that actually were square. They were 6 by 6 by 3 tefachim. When you put them back to back, you made a cube of 6 by 6 by 6. A cube. They were a cube of solid sapphire. Yet, when you go into many synagogues and you look at ahead of you see these kind of atria, these arches. Why? The answer is they're meant to look like a heart. They're meant to look like a heart. Have I shown you that the lamed is the heart? Have I shown you this? Oh, do you have a piece of paper? A pen? I'm so sorry to put this. Mamish, you got to see. It'll change your life. It's unbelievable. It's worth coming back. It's a worth. coming. Moment for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically writes the words of the Torah on a heart with the idea, but thank you so much, that this is great, that eventually they'll sink in.
What? The only thing is, I'm just...
Don't, go through it,
Put that on his back, just in case. Thank you.
This is amazing. Do you agree that this is the letter Lamed? Anything up my sleeve? There's something up. What's up my sleeve?
Zug.
I've done that wrong. I'll do it properly. Lamed. Lamed. Two Lameds facing each other make a human heart. And you even get the aorta and the vena cava coming out of it. That's because there's two hearts, b'chol levavcha. You've got Yetzer Hara, you've got Yetzer Tov. So two hearts, two lameds, which is the lamed, of course, is lev, facing each other, is a human heart. And that is exactly what it looks like. There's two sides to it. That depends how you're going to utilize, thank you very much, that depends how you're going to utilize your heart. Why do we make the luchas with those atria at the top? Because the words of the Torah are inscribed on the outside of the heart. Once they're there, maybe you actually will allow them to fall in. That's the Kotzker Rebbe's vault. Notice, if we're going to write, you know, the five on this side, the five on that side, and call these the luchas, why don't we just dribble them all inside the heart? That's where they should be, right? That's because all a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do is present you with a Torah. That can sit on your heart. It's got to be you that absorbs that into your heart. That's why we say, Pasach li b'sach ha-secha. Open my heart to your Torah, because frankly, it's not really open to it. Conscious-wise, I don't really want it. It's very hard for me to actually take that on. I'm now davening to Hashem for assistance to say, please can you help me allow those words of the Torah that are sitting on the outside to actually sink into me and become part of my psyche. If you meet people who have undergone a teshuva process and you see them prior to their teshuva process, and after their tshuva process, they change. Their consciousness changes. They just change. They're not the same people anymore. They can even change physically. But you can tell that the Torah has gone into a person. They are simply different human beings. They are just different human beings. Conversely, you can also tell an individual who, let's say, was Torahdic, who's gone off into a non-Torah environment, you can actually see that on the physicality of the person. You can actually see that. So I'm saying that I want you to open my heart, because the opening of my heart literally will physically change me to allow the Torah to go into me. One's heart, this lave that we've talked about here, is by nature HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it full of desires and lusts. That is the completely natural physical state of the heart. And it will easily succumb to evil and decadence. Just leave a person alone, without Torah, have a look at the world, and let's go see what happens. Everyone knows where that leads. The heart is so full of those negatives, there's simply no room to introduce the Torah in the mitzvahs. So we're asking that Hashem, Pasach libas osecha, he opens up our heart. That means he's got to drain out that negativity via Torah learning, which is the key to how to learn more. Torah study enables the heart to distinguish between good and bad. One of the things Torah does is Havdalah. Havdalah is probably the most potent thing you can do, and that's to make a differentiation between good and bad. You can see the difference between Shabbos and the weekday, etc. That is one of the most important things you can do. So the idea is to receive positive ideas and remove bad ideas.
Sorry. Daniel!
Everything all right?
It's a deaf one. Yeah.
The Gemara in Kedushin says, I created the Yetzer Hara and I created its antidote. It's Kedushin Lamed. It's interesting. It's page 30, which is Lamed. Happens to be, I created a very interesting idea with the Lamed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Yetzer Hara, which fills up the heart. And he also made the special medicine which cures it, which is the Torah. However, you can only achieve that if you learn Torah Dafka for its sake. And then, along with your studies, you fulfill the conditions, the prerequisites necessary in order to be able to learn Torah. You have to have good midas and work at cleaning yourself out. You can't be a terrible individual and then turn up to the base medrash and expect yourself to learn Torah. You've got to do tikkun amidas, you've got to fix yourself up, and you've got to learn Torah. Those two things together, cure yourself for the Yetzer Hara. That's what we're davening for. This is all in Pasach Lamim Bezosech, by the way. This is what it means to introduce life into the heart and prepare to accept Torah. Now, if one learns Torah, let's say the opposite. Let's say I'm going to learn Torah for all the wrong reasons. Not for the sake of heaven, but let's say I'm going to control one's passion. Or worse than that, I want to achieve honour or put down others who know less than me. Ha ha ha, you've not completed that much Torah and I have. I'm better than you. I get to wear a coat with two buttons at the back and you're not. And that's why you're learning Torah. All that's actually going to do is strengthen your negativity, your gaiva and your taiva. And the Torah itself, you are now becoming, you're making that enslaved to your desires. You're taking the Torah and using that as a spade to dig. The Pirkei Avos says, anyone who uses the Torah as a spade to dig will fade away. If you utilize the Torah, lo lishma, if you utilize the Torah to make yourself look clever or give yourself power or potency, guaranteed your money back, you're going to fade away. It does not work. It just doesn't last. That's not Torah Hashem. That's not Torah Hashem. That's your Torah. The Gemara Tanis Daf Zayin Amud Aleph says those who occupy themselves with Torah properly, the Torah is their antidote. But those who occupy themselves in the wrong way, it becomes a poison. Torah is very dangerous for you if you get involved in it dangerously. Torah is very dangerous. It'll destroy you if you use it for gaiva and taiva. It will. It will turn you into a Belgaiva. If you want to become a Belgaiva, the Torah can get you there. Learn all this Torah. Everyone stands up for you and all you care about is your Ovah. You couldn't care less about the Torah. You just want the honour and the best aliyah and everyone just stand up for you. It's just actually feeding the gaiva. The Vilna Gaon explained that the term taiva, what does the word taiva mean? It means desire dafka for something physical. What does chemda mean? Desire. Hmm? Desire. Also a desire. So what's my nafka mean a chemda and taiva? Excellent. A taiva for peanuts. A guy wants to sit and eat peanuts. Yum, 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 yum. That's a taiva. A chemda is coveting spiritual pleasures such as covet. If a guy, he doesn't have a taiva for covet, he's got a chemda for covet. That's the gra. Because it's not a physical thing. What he's got, I think we discussed this last time. How would you define covet, right? It's very difficult to put that into words. When you feel covet, what is that? Very, very, very difficult thing to explain. The Torah counteracts taiva and chasing mitzvahs counteracts chemda. I'll say that again. Torah suppresses your desires for physicality. Mitzvah performance suppresses your desires for negative spirituality, such as kavod. Together, Torah and mitzvahs together completely cure you of taiva and chemda. You've got to do both. If you just learn Torah and you don't do, you're deficient. If you do and don't learn Torah, you're deficient. But if you do both, you learn Torah and you do, you're covered. That's the difference between Yaakov, Yitzhak and Avraham. Yaakov mentioned this week's parsha. We just did it, right? At the end of Bukh HaKaisai, we just had Hashem said, I remember Yaakov, I remember Yitzhak, I remember Avraham, and the land I remember at the end of the curses. Why in the reverse order? Yaakov represents Jews who learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Yitzchak represents Jews who learn Torah but don't do mitzvahs. Avraham represents Jews that do mitzvahs but don't learn Torah. So Yaakov Avinu is the spitz. He's nullifying his taivas through Torah learning. He's nullifying his chemda through mitzvah performance. He's the spitz. He's learning and doing. Yitzhak Avinu learns Torah, as it were, not this section of the population learn Torah, but they don't do. When the mitzvahs come to their hand, they don't do. What happens to that people? Those people may not have tithers. They've got a lot of chemda. They may be after a lot of covered. They're just sitting and learning, but let's say they're not doing it. Mitzvahs come to their hand, not doing it. I want to sit and learn. That's what they're going to have covered issues. Aravinu type Jews, they do the mitzvahs. So they don't have covered issues. But they have tithe issues because they don't learn Torah. They're still after tithe. They're bala tithe. They don't learn. Now there's another level of Jew which didn't even make it there. Rabbi Yitzhak Bernstein says, and the land I remember. That's a level of a Jew that doesn't learn Torah, doesn't do mitzvahs, and their only connection to the whole concept of Judaism is the land of Israel.
Zionism, you mean? Or just
no. I'm just talking about a Jew that just feels as if Israel. Love Israel, love Israel, love Israel. Israel, 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 Israel. They can't explain why. That's a land person. That's the lowest social strata God will remember to stop the curses. It is our job as socially yuppies, what are we're suppies, we're spiritually uplifting mobile personalities, or whatever it is. We're meant to be upwardly mobile individuals, right? That's where, you know, young, upwardly mobile male or whatever is yuppie, whatever it was called. You want to be a spiritual yuppie. So if you're the type of Jew and you're listening to this and your real only connection, well, you probably wouldn't do this if you're listening to this, but your only real connection to Judaism is Israel. I love Israel. Don't say anything bad against Israel. That's it. You got your next job is to start doing mitzvahs. Get to the Avraham Avinu level. The Avraham Avinu level is you're busy doing mitzvahs. Take on some mitzvahs. The next job after that is to get yourself to a base of Medrash. You've got to get to a shir. You've got to learn. The ultimate status you can get to, the absolute service ceiling is you do the mitzvahs, you learn Torah. That means you are affecting every element of your soul and body in the best way possible for the best reasons. That's why we say, Pasach li basar secha, give me the Yitzhak Avinu element. And the Avraham element, together I'll become a Yaakov. That makes sense? We're davening for this. You've got to think about, that's what you're asking for. All right. It's very interesting. Then my soul will pursue your commandments. Let's talk about this concept of pursuing commandments. There's a Mishnah in Avos, Pirkei Avos, in the fourth perek, second Mishnah. It says, Ben Azai said, run to perform even a minor mitzvah, flee from sin, for one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, and one sin leads to another sin. Because schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar aveira aveira. Right, the reward for mitzvah is mitzvah. Right. Let's talk about this for one moment. There's Rav Chaim of Volozhin on this, on the Ruach Chaim. When you do a mitzvah, you become conditioned to obey God's will. Let's say a guy puts a penny in a tzedakah box. What's the most important thing that came out of that effect?
The impact on him.
He becomes more of a baal tzedakah. Forget the oni that gets the penny. The most important thing is you become a baal tzedakah. You put on tefillin, you become a baal tefillin. You keep Shabbos, you become a baal Shabbos. Forget all the other. You're the first person you affect, right? That's what happens. You're conditioning yourself to obeying God's will. On the odds, a guy walks into a McDonald's and buys himself a milkshake. Not a burger, not a fillet of fish, not a donut, a milkshake. A non-Chol of Yisrael milkshake. I don't know if there's anything treif in the milkshake. I see. But that's all he gets. What's happening to him when he does that?
Instead of where he would normally have got the burger.
No. He's never walked into McDonald's in his life. He's a frum guy. But he goes in and gets himself a strawberry milkshake.
He's on a slow.
He's not getting meat. He's not getting meat. He's not getting a sack. Nothing. There's no cutter. He's making himself an individual that doesn't mind queuing up in McDonald's. Now, let's say it happened to be that particular batch of milk was completely clean. It wasn't a Chol of Yisrael, but there was nothing in it that was, let's say there was nothing in it, treif. Let's pretend. He didn't, let's pretend. Yeah? Morrison, he shouldn't have been there. Yeah, let's take all that out of the mix. He got himself a McDonald's, but he shouldn't have done it. Apart from the fact that it was wrong of it, he's now disassociating and desensitizing himself to go into a Trafer restaurant and purchase food there. It's going to be easier for him to get Trafer next time. That's the way it's working here. It's a slippery slope. The Ruach Chaim explains that it's natural for people to gravitate towards sin because it's a physical temptation and it's real. But if you have to flee sin, only then can you not be ensnared by it. You have to actively run away from sin. If you don't run away, it'll get you. Conversely, since mitzvahs are spiritual, they're not physical, they're naturally remote anyway. So if someone doesn't exert themselves to pursue them, they're always distant from you. Sin is coming up to you every single second. So what do you have to do? Flee from sin, says Ben Azai. Because it's on its way to you. Mitzvahs, you have to run after. Why? They're never next to you. Because they're ruchni. And ruchni is not next to kashmirs. Think about it. Lulav and Esrog. That's not just going to fall on your plate. You're not just going to, by accident, happen to walk up on that particular day and get those four species and wave them in the right way. That just doesn't happen. It didn't happen today, did it? I happened to get myself a lemon and some veg. It happens all the time. I don't, by accident, just get four boxes and then squish them together in a very high multi-ton pressure device and write just the right words on them and stitch them together with calf hair. And it doesn't happen. You've either got to run after it or it doesn't happen. Shabbos doesn't happen by accident. Pesach does not happen by accident. Sukkot does not happen by accident. You've got to run after them. Because those mitzvahs are not close to you. They're ruchni. Unless you're actively going to get a mitzvah, you won't just fall by accident into a mitzvah. What happened today? Sorry, I'm late. Mitzvah hit me.
But mitzvahs do occur. You know, so I was walking to shul tonight and there was an older gentleman. So rather than walk past him, I thought I'll slow down and I'll accompany him to shul.
What do you do?
That's a mitzvah.
You explain to me how you've just proved your own argument wrong. You've just helped me out. What have you done there? Everyone in the tape's going, yeah. Well, you should have done, yeah. What are you doing slowing down? You had to actively get to the mitzvah. They don't just by accident hit you. Guy will knock on the door saying, hi, I'm elderly. Could you help me over the road? It's a mitzvah. If you say yes, you've got to run after. It doesn't happen like that. Mitzvahs don't by accident hit you. It doesn't by accident that you just get the right scroll to be at the bottom of the top third of a doorpost. Oh, that's what they're like, isn't they? They're just always like that, those scrolls. No, but sin is like that. Leave yourself alone for long enough, give yourself a week, sin is right at you. God says sin crouches at the door. It's out to get you. That's how he made it. You've actively got to run away from sin, sumara. As I told you, you've got to run after the mitzvahs. All right, let's leave that and move on to the next bit. V'choyel ha-choshvim alai ra'a mahera ha-fer atasav ha-kakol ma-choshavtam. This is very interesting. All those who design evil against me, they've got their tachbulois, their strategies. They're not just individuals that don't like you. They are out to get you actively. They've got a plan of how they're going to ruin your day. In that case, I'm not just saying, let me be like dust. Someone walks by me and says, idiot. Just you be like dust. They're not out to get you. Bear the insult. Someone now has made a plan to hurt you, basically. Either they're going to scam you or they're going to change your personality because of a social impact, something like that. They're out to get you. They're out to get you. They're actively doing something to get you. There we don't say be like dust. What do? We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to nullify their counsel and disrupt their design. Now I'm asking God to get involved. I'm not saying I should be like dust. I'm saying, God, I need you to actually actively do something here. I need you to literally turn up to their parlor meeting when they're figuring out what they're going to do to me and make sure something happens. I want you to destroy what they're doing. I need your help. Very important difference from let my soul be like dust. Someone who is rude to me, someone who's not giving me the right covered, let my soul be like dust. I'll take the hit. It's fine. Someone who's out to get me, I now need to get active. I need to get active. Hashem, I'm asking you, please get active for me. It's interesting. When a person pursues mitzvahs, he is not pursued by enemies or evildoers. It's a rule. If you're busy doing a mitzvah, no one's out to get you at that time. Unless it's been a gezeirah against all of Klal Yisrael at a Holocaust or something like that. If you're running to do a particular mitzvah, at that particular time, you're free. This idea specifically was said by David in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, 119, 86, 87. All your mitzvahs are faithful. They pursue me with lies. Help me. They had almost destroyed the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts, says David. I keep a mitzvah, it protects me. I know the best way to protect myself against someone out to get me is to run after a mitzvah. Vabudraham says, like David HaMelech, you've got to follow your commitment to pursue mitzvahs with a request to nullify those who design evil against you. Because the Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Haim 122.3, quotes the Tur that says, whoever recites these following petitions now, Asay lema'an shmecha, Asay lema'an imenecha, is guaranteed success. If you say, I am going to do my best to do your mitzvahs, you are guaranteed success because you're doing it for Hashem's sake. Once you're on his team, think about it. Let's really think. I need you to think about something for a moment. This is great. Let's say you give yourself over completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what he wants, right? You literally give yourself over to do what he wants. What does that make you? Excellent. You are on his board. You're a member of his team. Let's say, if you're able to do that, right? Now someone wants to come and mess with you. They're not messing just with you. They're messing with the company. This becomes a company issue. I don't know if you've heard, a friend of mine was once in a company issue and that he had a personal issue and he turned around to his boss and he just confided in him. Said, someone's out to get me. And he said, well, we can't lose you. I need you in the company. He says, this is now a company issue. And the company called a lawyer to mess this guy up. And he got away with it. And his company basically paid for it. It was a personal issue completely, but the boss felt as if it wasn't personal because if I lose him, I'm losing a very significant source of my income. Which is, you're messing with the board. Think about it. Let's say you're messing personally with a guy that works for the CIA. You want to ruin his relationship with his wife. Yeah, you tell him he'll send all photos and tell him terrible things and he's going to get... Now, he could turn around to his boss, who's, let's say, the head of the CIA, say, listen, you're the head of the European directive. I can't have you fail because if you fail, I won't be able to cover the European... Don't leave it with me, I'll sort it out. You've got the CIA bearing down, isn't it? It's like, that's it. You're not just messing with this guy, you're messing with the company. He's brought to bear his vitamin P, his protection with his boss, on you. So you thought you were just having a go at this guy, not realising that you're now fighting the might of the CIA, which is a completely different ballgame. Do you agree with me on that? If you are on God's side and you are one of his team players and someone's out to get you, it's an insult to your boss. You know what you can do? Says to the boss, listen, I'm a team player. I got a problem here. It's affecting the team. Can I ask you to step in? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God will get involved. You messing with my team players? You messing with me? Messing with covered Shemayim? You have to sort this out. Can't have that. It shows God up as bad. If you fail when someone's out to get you, do you know who looks weak? God, because you work for God. So it makes him look weak. So if you really want 100% dedicated to him, and you can say, I'm on your team, and this guy's having a go at me, you can rightfully call God in to defend his own honor, not yours. Lema'an shemecha, do it for yourself. Asay lema'an shemecha. Do it for your name, not me. I'm on your team. If they have a... I don't know anything to do about football except for there's 11 semi-naked men kicking a sack around a farm. That's it. That's all I know, right? I know there's people here that know a lot more than me about it. I don't know the names of individual players, but I can tell you, if you're after the captain of a particular team, every member of that team is going to get damaged. And it's right for that team, the manager, the fans to have a go. Because it's taking down the whole team. It's not just one player. It's not just a striker. It's not the defender. It's not the goalie. It's the team. You're ruining the team. So the team, that individual member, is right to turn around to the manager and all the ancillary people who are involved and the people who sell all the tchotchkes in the shops, like the hair straighteners with all the names of the Everton on it or whatever it is, yeah? They're right to turn around and say, help me, because without me you don't have a football team. You've invested millions into me and they're going to come and get me. If they take me away, you will not have a striker. You will not have a goalie. You won't have a defender. You won't have a wingman. Fine, leave it with us. It's right the manager gets involved. This is a threat to the cohesive nature of the team. It's interesting when we say lema'an, I'm sorry, that the stress is on the mem, lema'an, shemecha, we say that over and over again, the gematria of lema'an is 190. 190. What other word has the gematria 190? Just those two letters. You can do it. 190. What letters are kuf and?
The one before it.
What's the letter? Tzadi. Kuf tzadi spells? Kates, which means the end. Scripture and Gemara are full of the term kates, which means the epoch of the Messiah. Kates is the end days. Final end times is kates. End days. Lema'an is kates. It's the same word as kates. Do it for the sake of the Mashiach. What on earth? What am I saying? At the end of the Amidah, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to end the exile of his name and his Kedusha. Save me from people who are having a go at me, not just for me, but do it. Do it equals Mashiach. Lema'an is Kate's. Do it, Lema'an, for the sake of you. Bring Mashiach for the sake of your name, for your sanctity. If they're having a go at me, stop them for the sake of Mashiach and the entire end days of the world. Talk about bringing the chips in. You're starting to pull rank here. Someone's having a go at you. First of all, you're calling on God directly, saying, this isn't my problem. This really is your problem. And it's a problem for Kavod Shemaim, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, if you are indeed an indentured servant and they're having a go at you, think about, at the moment, political, dating it now. Donald Trump is visiting the UK, yeah? What do people do when they visit the UK? They walk in front of those guards who wear those busbies. You know, those, like, they wear these bearskin hats, which are so ridiculously inappropriate. And they have that little chain that goes around their chin, doesn't even hold it on in the wind and stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? What are they called? The Scots Guards or the Honor Guard? I don't know what they're called. Yeah? The guys with it and they stand there, yeah? You go up and you look at their buttons. Are they, oh, very good. They inspect them, yeah? Let's say you go up to one of them and just slap them across the face for a laugh with a dead chicken. Ha, 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 ha. What are you really doing if you do that? Are you insulting Lance Corporal Peterson of the 4th Brigade? No, you are not. He's irrelevant. You know who you're insulting?
Queen.
You're insulting the Queen. That for sure is the case. That you're insulting the Queen. You're saying, this is your honour guard? I slap your honour guard in the face with a dead chicken. That's got nothing to do with the honour. Do you only agree? The guy standing there with a rifle is irrelevant. He is now part of the brigade. Right, he is a manifestation of the Queen's power, is he not? Do you not agree? Is that true, right? I'm not trying to make this up. If you are one of the honour guard of Hashem, and someone comes and messes with you, he's not insulting you.
Well, I also believe legally, if you kill a policeman versus killing a citizen, you get a stricter punishment.
That's correct. I believe, from what we understand, the Nazis weren't so much after killing the Jews. They were trying to spite God by wiping out his people on the world. They weren't just doing a favour because we are somehow genetically lower than anyone else. The issue is this concept of God's chosen people. Well, if you don't have a chosen people, then what kind of God are you? Because we're God's chosen people. And if he doesn't have a chosen people, then what God is he? You're diminishing his power in the world. He chose the people, right? Yeah, I killed them all. Now what? Who are you going to choose now? What you're really doing is deeply insulting God. That's what you're really doing, right? You're saying, oh yeah, you're chosen people. Watch me murder them en masse. Come and stop me. You're really having a go at God, not the people. The people are just a tool that you can get at God with. I can't go at the Queen, but I can slap the soldiers around their face with a chicken. I can do that. That's my way of insulting the Queen. Therefore, the soldier really is irrelevant. It's time for the Queen to step up action. That's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin, 98a, says, whenever you say this, it says, for my own sake, I will do it, in Yeshaya 48:11. That's a reference to the Messiah. It's a reference to the Messiah. Every time you see the word Lema'an, it's Kate's, and Yeshaya says it's also to do with Mashiach. You're saying at the end of the day, if they're having a go at me, they're not only stopping Shemaim's covered, to a certain extent, they're diminishing the glory of Mashiach. All right, now we're pulling out some guns. Having a go at me? Having a go at me? Yeah? Okay. Here's God, here's heaven, and here's the Messiah. That's what you're having a go at. You can take it up with them. That's what you're doing. You're diminishing. It's not me you're having a go at, is it? It's all these concepts. Isn't that true?
I'm just confused, because if this is here, why do you need
Vela Malshnim is a separate kind of a bracha. I'm asking in my particular case for people who are out to get me. This may not be heretics and sinners within the Jewish people. Vela Malshnim is specifically against Jews. Right. This is anybody. And anyway, this is a bakasha, not a tefillah. V'chol ha'chayshvim, all those who think me to do evil, includes not only human and physical enemies, but I'm also davening for spiritual forces that seek to harm people or cause them to sin and stumble, and even those kind of evil thoughts which come from within me. It's the Abudraham. Anyone who's having a go at me, that doesn't just mean the Nazis, that means bad malachim, shindalads, any negative curse that's come to the world, tornadoes, storms, anything bad environmentally, I've got news for you. Bad thoughts. They've come to stumble me. I am your servant. Protect me from a bad thought coming to... Let's say a guy would never think to rob a bank, but he's going to go to a pub and sit down and hear two people planning to rob a bank. And while he does, he thinks, Tucker, I could do that too. Hashem, help me not go to that pub. Don't even get me into a situation where I might even hear something bad, which would get me thinking something bad. Anyone who's got any kind of plot against me like that, keep me far away. I don't want anything bad to hit me. Hashem, do it for your sake. Do it for your name's sake. Do it for your Kedusha's sake. Do it for Mashiach's sake. Prevent me from not being the best soldier I can be. The Abudraham points out that since we've entreated Hashem to open our hearts to the Torah and to inspire us to pursue mitzvahs, midah keneged midah, we're protected from those who pursue us. Listen to the mechanism. What are you davening for? Hashem, I want to run after your mitzvahs. I'll help you. Midah keneged midah. Please could you help me against people who are running after me? Leave it with me. If you're on my team and you're busy running after my mitzvahs, as we said in Tehillim, kufiyut tes, 86, 87, you're busy running after a mitzvah, I will protect you, midah keneged midah. Anyone who's pursuing you is off the track because you're pursuing me. Fair's fair. How's that? You pursue me, I'll make sure that everyone that's pursuing you is out of cause. So basically, once you've fully committed to Hashem's agenda, those who thwart us are really interfering with God. So we're praying that their eitzah, their advice, and their machshava, their thoughts, should be thwarted and ruined, because fair's fair, we're part of the team player. Coming to the end of time, what I want to do, Be'ez Hashem, next time, is finish off these lema'ans, because we're asking for the sake of God's name, for the sake of his right hand. We've got to discuss that. What's all that about? What's all that about, as we say in English? We're asking about his sanctity. Why should his sanctity come after his right hand? Shouldn't that be right up there in the beginning? Do it for the Torah. Do it that your beloved ones may be given rest. A yadid. You call yourself a yadid. How do you translate yadid in modern Ivrit? A darling. Yadid is like a darling. Do it for your darlings. I'm your darling, do it for me. How can you, what? That is really, really the translation. You're Hashem's darling. He loves you. Why are we saying this now? Let your right hand save and respond to me. What's going on there? And then, after we say the pasuk for our names, Yehula Ratzon, we've already talked about at great length at the end of Sim Shalom. Then we've got the three steps back. Osa Shalom, left, right, forward. What's going on with that? Yeah? And then we've got the special Yehula Ratzon about the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we have to put in the Yehula Ratzon about the Beis HaMikdash before we take three steps forward? Once we've done those three bits, which is the Lema'ans, we've done the Osa Shalom, bowing business, and we've done the Yehula Ratzon, where